Mel Gibson attempted to warn us about the hidden evils of this world countless times in the past 30 years. Whether he was outing predatory Hollywood elites or attacking the president, he refused to hold his tongue on controversial topics, which made some very powerful people upset with him. His unapologetic opinions have rendered him a reputation as homophobic, anti-Semitic, racist, an abuser, and straight up crazy, which resulted in him losing major film roles and nearly being blacklisted from Hollywood.
Most people's number one fear is public humiliation. Okay? I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm not afraid of it. Because I've had plenty.
However, after his recent appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast, it seems the opinion about Mel has dramatically shifted. Love how Mel is at the intersection of genius and madman. Mel Gibson, one of the few Hollywood actors that I feel has a heart of truth. Over the years, Hollywood's dark secrets have slowly come to light, with some of the most unimaginable conspiracies being considered in normal discourse. Today, we are going to analyze the controversial things that ruined Mel Gibson's reputation in Hollywood, starting with this 1998 interview where he may have crossed a line.
Other points of interest about women, you know.
There's a producer I know, successful producer, I will not mention names, but his whole opinion about women on film from beginning to end is very brief. He says, women on film, either naked or dead, both is better.
Although we don't know for sure, perhaps Gibson was referring to Harvey Weinstein, because just a couple years after this interview, he created the film Frida, where Salma Hayek alleged that Weinstein would only let her finish the film if she agreed to do a scene with another woman, and he demanded full frontal nudity. Even if that allegation is false, there is no doubt that the mantra, get naked, get nominated, has become kind of a running joke in Hollywood.
You know.
All right.
It used to be, you get naked, you get nominated.
But when you think about it, that's kind of a dark reality for women in film. In the past 37 years, only two women who won Best Actress at the Oscars had never been on camera. Cher, who won in 1987, and Michelle Yeoh, who won in 2023. Now, the specific roles that got these women the nominations or victories were not always the films that they were nude in, but considering 95% of the winners were naked on film at some point in their career, does beg the question if the elites demand this requirement. Hollywood quickly made Mel realize that normal life is much more appealing than the not-so-glamorous red carpet. He was an outsider, born one of 11 siblings in the Hudson Valley area of New York. His father uprooted his family to Sydney, Australia, where Mel began studying theater and performance art while taking on small acting roles. His big break came in 1979 with the cult classic Australian film Mad Max. Produced on a budget of just $350,000, Mad Max earned an astounding $100 million worldwide, setting a Guinness World Record as the most profitable film in history at that point. Naturally, they made a follow-up film, which many fans believe to be one of the best sequels ever. Mel continued to focus on Australian films. By 1985, he had a few hits under his belt and even was paid $1 million for his reprisal of Max Rockatansky in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. In 1987, the 30-year-old Australian superstar decided to take his talents to Los Angeles, California, where he immediately felt uncomfortable with his surroundings.
When I came over here, you know, I had a whole bunch of weird paranoid suspicions about what the hell was going on, because there was a lot of stuff I couldn't understand, and nobody was really bothering to explain it to me. And I formed a bunch of opinions about the town and about the people in it that were like, surely that couldn't be. Because a whole place can't be like, you know, weird town, you know, where the stranger wanders in and all the people are in the bar and they all shut up when he looks at them, and they tell you don't go to the house on the hill, and it's like that. And then you go away and you think, no, I was wrong. I mean, that's insane thinking. I'm paranoid. I imagined that stuff. That couldn't be the reason for why so-and-so was acting like, could it? Mm. And then you find out later on the track that you were exactly on track, that some of your worst nightmares were real.
It's tough to know exactly what Mel was referring to. Was he just simply put off by rude socialites who are raised in the valley and act like Los Angeles is the center of the universe? Or did he see something darker? and more suspicious. The AFC and NFC Championship weekend is almost here, and Underdog is the place to play if you're a fan looking into cash in on all your favorite athletes' performances. Underdog is available in over 30 states, including California, Missouri, and Texas. Just call your shot by picking higher or lower on two or more players' stats for a shot to win real money. I've been loving playing on Underdog. Here are some of my recent wins. If you haven't played on Underdog yet, you gotta get there and claim your free pick. It's a free W for your entry just waiting for you. Start playing today. Use code PATRICKCC and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Download the app today and turn every bucket into a W with Underdog. Despite him feeling uneasy, he stuck around. In 1987, he landed a leading role in the buddy action movie Lethal Weapon that would catapult him into A-list fame. Lethal Weapon became a massive hit, ranking as the 8th highest grossing film of 87 and kickstarting an iconic franchise with 4 movies in total. Mel generated nearly $900 million at the worldwide box office in the 80s, making him more successful than guys like John Travolta and Samuel Jackson. However, his global box office success in the 90s would make him the 10th highest earning actor in the industry, just ahead of 90s icons like Jim Carrey and Tom Cruise. And that's due to his run of hits including the thriller Ransom, the Disney classic Pocahontas, where he voices John Smith, and of course, his most iconic film, Braveheart. Released in 1995, the film was directed by Gibson, and he also played the lead role of William Wallace, who led a rebellion against English oppression in the late 13th century. The film was an absolute smash, making about 4 times its original budget and providing fans with quotable, patriotic lines for decades.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take
The film cleaned house when it came to awards the following year, winning Best Picture, Best Director, Best Cinematography, Best Effects, Sound Effects, Editing, and Best Makeup. And while most celebrities at their peak would do anything to protect their money and status, Gibson did the exact opposite. He was eager to speak his mind about anything, no matter how controversial it was. Like in this 1995 interview with Playboy magazine, where he made comments about world leaders and hinted at the existence of a deeper, more secretive government entity. How do you feel about Bill Clinton? He's a low-level opportunist. Somebody's telling him what to do. Who? The guy who's in charge isn't going to be the front man ever. If I were going to be calling the shots, I wouldn't make an appearance. Would you? You'd end up losing your head. It happens all the time. All those monarchs. If he's the leader, he's getting shafted. What's keeping him in there? Why would you stay for that kind of abuse? Except that he has to stay for some reason. He was meant to be the president 30 years ago, if you ask me. He was just 18 then. Somebody knew then that he would be president now. You really believe that? I really believe that. He was a Rhodes Scholar, right? Just like Bob Hawke. Do you know what a Rhodes Scholar is? Cecil Rhodes established the Rhodes Scholarship for those young men and women who want to strive for a new world order. Have you heard that before? George Bush? CIA? Really, it's Marxism, but it doesn't want to call itself that. Carl had the right idea, but he was too forward about saying what it was. Get power, but don't admit to it. Do it by stealth. There's a whole trend of Rhodes Scholars who will be politicians around the world. As you can see, Mel Gibson was a conspiracy theorist before it was considered cool, because Mel's theory about Bill Clinton is very similar to what many have felt and talked about Joe Biden for the past 4 years, primarily due to Donald Trump just straight up saying that a shadowy secret entity referred to as the deep state are actually running the country. Now, both political parties have justifiably criticized Joe Biden's mental and physical health, questioning if he was ever fit to hold office, but even if the deep state is just a conspiracy, we can all agree that rich oligarchs with billions invested into lobbying and greasing politicians' pockets are really who call the shots in this country. Yet just when it seems like Mel Gibson is voicing opinions no other celebrity would dare risk, he says something that makes you genuinely question his sanity. Like when he met Christopher Walken and witnessed his supernatural abilities?
No, he came to see me on a rooftop in New York. I said, hey, can I talk to you? And he said, sure. And he floated in, sideways. Through a crowd of people. He was wearing black, and it was like one of those old vampire movies where they don't walk but they glide. And he was a dancer, you know, so he has he's very you know, graceful.
Yeah.
And he moved sideways and he just sat down in a chair next to me, and it kind of frightened me. And he's a very smart guy. And we started talking, and I didn't, you know, say much of anything about reading the script, nothing. I just started talking about the Middle Ages And he began to talk tortures, and we swapped tortures because I'd read this book on torture, and I tried to recall some of the most heinous things I'd ever read in this book, and he was like, oh, and he'd try and top it. And it got, and my assistant was there, and he left because he couldn't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
The air had turned cold. Mm-hmm. And then he left, and I wanted to leave because I knew that I didn't want to work with him. And he was getting scary. And then I turned around, and it was on top of the Peninsula Hotel. I turned around to avoid his steady gaze at one point.
Yeah.
And I was looking at a building with the top of the sixes on it. So there was a huge illuminated triple six in red.
Yeah.
And I went from that to that to that, and he started smiling. Yeah. And I thought, oh no, Chris Walken is the Antichrist.
Yeah. Mel toes this line of absolute insanity while recalling enough details to believe his stories are true. Does Mel actually think Christopher Walken has some sort of devilish abilities, or did they simply have a strange conversation and he is referencing the 1993 film True Romance, where Walken says he is the Antichrist?
Do you know who I am, Mr. Wally?
Who are you?
The Antichrist.
But this wasn't the only time in the interview where Gibson mentioned a satanic presence in Hollywood.
A place like this can humiliate you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can humiliate you, it can be humbling. I mean, it does rip your life to pieces.
Does it?
If you'll let it.
Yeah.
And it's always pounding at the walls. It's these little guys, these little heathens with no soul downstairs with horns on their head with a battering ram trying to like beat your walls in.
Now, I think it's safe to assume that Mel did not actually meet little trolls with horns on their heads. But still to this day, there are widespread fears of satanic ritual abuse and cult activity, particularly in Hollywood. These fears go all the way back to 2nd century Rome. There were claims that secret Satan-worshipping cults exist that ritualistically abuse and sacrifice children. The European witch hunts of the 15th, 16th, and 17th centuries also incorporated claims of devil worship and child sacrifice. But America, which is a predominantly Christian nation, didn't feel any widespread threat of Satanism until the 1980s during the Satanic Panic, and most of that threat came from Hollywood. Movies like The Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby were frequently cited as examples of Hollywood glorifying Satanism and influencing impressionable audiences with demonic imagery. Bands like Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, and Iron Maiden were targeted for their dark imagery and lyrics, with people being so desperate that they played the songs backwards to find secret messages. This was seemingly nothing more than an overreaction from conservative parents around the country. But Mel Gibson was living in the heart of the land that people deemed as demonic, and it compelled him to make the world know exactly who he tied his allegiance to. Mel was steamrolling into the 2000s, and it looked like he was on his way to being a top 10 superstar for the next decade. What Women Want, Chicken Run, and Signs were back-to-back-to-back multi-$100 million hits. His peak in success would be in 2004, but it also resulted in his demise. In 2004, Mel Gibson wrote and directed the controversial film The Passion of the Christ, which depicts the final 12 hours of the life of Jesus of Nazareth on the day of his crucifixion in Jerusalem. After release, the reception was mixed. Opposers believed that the brutality and torture displayed in the film was over the top, but Christians believe that the movie helps us understand just how horribly Jesus suffered.
You know, you step into that arena, phew, you know, it's going to create some fireworks.
Did you think about that before you did it?
Well, I thought, you know, a lot of other people did it. You know, George Stevens did it, and Cecil B. DeMille, right, and Franco Zeffirelli did it, and man, they didn't get too much. So I thought, oh, I'll just try this. And but man, it just was like, well, it was like lighting the world on fire.
Well, you brought the pain to it.
I sort of, you know, got gritty with it.
Did you ever think it was too much?
Of course it was too much. Yes, that was the whole point of it. It was the mystery of suffering. And which is the sacrificial lamb, you know. I mean, if it was easy, it isn't worth much.
We know that Mel's film is not completely accurate to the Bible, such as depicting Satan as a woman and overemphasizing the story on Mary. The ADL, the leading anti-hate organization working to stop the defamation of Jewish people, said this film continues its unambiguous portrayal of Jews as being responsible for the death of Jesus. There is no question in this film about who is responsible. At every single opportunity, Mr. Gibson's film reinforces the notion that the Jewish Jewish authorities and the Jewish mob are the ones ultimately responsible for the crucifixion.
The Vatican proclaimed that the Jews were not responsible for the murder of Jesus. Gibson is setting the clock back. It's not about acting. It's about Mel Gibson at his anti-Semitic worst. This lie inspired the murder of my people and the millions over the centuries, and this lie inspired the Holocaust itself.
But with all the controversy, the film did amazing at the box office. With a budget of just $30 million, it made more than $600 million worldwide, holding the record for the highest earning R-rated film for years. Additionally, the film can be credited in making church attendance rise and inspiring many people to reconsider and focus more attention on their faith. Regardless of its biblical inaccuracies, followers of Jesus believe the film is a net positive influence overall. However, the film is still widely regarded by many to be anti-Semitic and dangerous, and Jewish people's suspicions of Mel's underlying beliefs would be confirmed after a drunken rant with a police officer. At 2:36 a.m. on July 28, 2006, L.A. County Deputy James Mee pulled over Mel Gibson driving 87 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone in Malibu. The officer spotted an open bottle of tequila in the passenger seat. Mee administered a breathalyzer test, which showed the actor to have a blood alcohol level of 0.12%, well over the legal limit of 0.08. Gibson threatened the officer while sitting in the back seat of a patrol car, saying he, quote, owns Malibu and will spend all his money to get even with him. Gibson blurted out a barrage of anti-Semitic remarks about the Jews and yelled out, "The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world." Gibson then asked the officer, "Are you a Jew?" The media absolutely exploded, reporting Mel's shocking, hateful statements. Jewish rabbi Abraham Foxham said, "Liquor loosens the tongue of what's in the mind and in the heart. And in his mind and in his heart is his conspiracy theory about Jews and hatred of Jews." The same day, Gibson issued a public apology, which partially reads, "I want to apologize specifically to everyone in the Jewish community for the vitriolic and harmful words that I said. I'm not just asking for forgiveness. I would like to take it one step further and meet with leaders of the Jewish community, with whom I can have a one-on-one discussion to discern the appropriate path for healing." Additionally, Mel opened up about his lifelong battle with alcoholism, being addicted to the drink since he was 13 years old.
He says the torment is every time that you relapse, it's harder to fight your way back.
The risk of everything, life, limb, family, is not enough to keep you from it. That's the hell of it. You are indefensible against it. If your nature is
you will sacrifice
anything.
Most of the Jewish community felt that Mel Gibson's apology is unremorseful and insufficient, and this controversy was the nail in the coffin for his career. For the next 5 years, he virtually disappeared from Hollywood. This resulted in his fans believing that he was silenced for criticizing the Jewish people. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. Don't sweat it, Mel. You're still welcome in Australia. We can handle the truth. And the conspiracies tied to this line of thinking would not slow down. In fact, they just got worse. During Mel's hiatus, there was another rush of the satanic panic and hyperfixation on Hollywood's ties with the devil. In the 2000s and 2010s, just about every mainstream pop artist and rapper has been accused of being in the Illuminati due to their own lyrics or their own imagery. The theory is that you cannot achieve this level of success without entering the secret society that controls the entertainment industry. Jay-Z and Beyonce are some of the most high-profile celebrities accused of being tied to the cult. The two holding up their signature Roc Nation hand sign was believed to symbolize the all-seeing eye, which is commonly associated with the Freemason logo or Illuminati symbolism. Beyonce even went out of her way to show the sign during the Super Bowl halftime performance. She even once posted a photo on Instagram of her blocking out Jesus over an Andy Warhol mural of The Last Supper. You also had Jay-Z's video for On to the Next One, which is loaded with symbolism: a crucifix, thick red lips dripping blood, and goat skulls with massive horns. Whenever a tragic death happened in Hollywood, it was attributed to being a ritualistic sacrifice. Rumors circled that Kanye West sacrificed his own mother, who tragically died during plastic surgery, to achieve even higher levels of fame, or that Amy Winehouse was trying to leave or refuse the Illuminati, and she was killed for it, which was amplified because of what she said in this interview.
Have they tried to mold you in any way, though, if people ask you to do things to change the way you look or speak or behave?
Yeah, one of them tried to mold me into a big triangle shape, and I went, no!
Now, none of this information can be substantiated with any facts. We don't even know how any of these rumors or conspiracies started in the first place. But that doesn't mean that they're entirely baseless. There are a considerable number of celebrities that have leaned into the conspiracy as a shocking formula to get attention in the press. Like when Lil Nas X sold 666 pairs of Nike sneakers with pentagrams and a drop of real human blood on them, and his Montero music video where he descends down to hell to give the devil a lap dance. There have also been some stars straight up admitting to having an allegiance to the devil.
Thank you to Satan for giving me inspiration on how to play this role.
He is an Illuminati. I'm an Illuminati.
That's how I got introduced to the music industry. Is I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil.
Yet most people chalk these confessions up to nothing more than marketing. Celebrities knowing that the internet is going to run off on conspiracy theories and just keep their names in blogs and tabloids and tweets. But in the past few years, these conspiracies have gotten much deeper, darker, and more politically oriented. While many people have become more open to the idea that Hollywood is filled with filthy rich sinners who indulge in immoral behavior, when it comes to politicians and their involvement in this type of behavior, there is still a clear divide between right-wing and left-wing. Then again, it's understandable why a logical, reasonable person would reject these theories. Like the one where global elites torture children to harvest the chemical adrenochrome from their blood, which they then inject in order to stay healthy and young. Now, adrenochrome is produced by the oxidation of adrenaline and has no known psychoactive effects. This narrative echoes historical anti-Semitic blood libel myths, falsely accusing Jews of using Christian children's blood for rituals. A famous case in 1475 is a horrific example. 2-year-old Simon disappeared from the Italian city of Trent, and the local Jewish community was rounded up and burned at the stake after being forced to confess under torture that the boy had been sacrificed and his blood used to bake matzah. This blood harvesting theory has been closely intertwined with Pizzagate, which claimed that Hillary Clinton was running a child's ring out of the Comet Ping Pong Pizza Shop in Washington, D.C. The origins of this conspiracy derive from 30,000 leaked emails sent to and from Hillary Clinton's private email server while she was the Secretary of State. The emails were mainly about fundraising events, but high-profile pro-Donald Trump figures such as Mike Cernovich and Alex Jones began advancing the claim that the emails were proof of ritualistic child abuse. One email in question belonged to Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta, revealing an invitation by his brother to a spirit cooking dinner at the home of artist Marina Abramovich. She wrote, "I am so looking forward to the spirit cooking dinner at my place. Do you think you will be able to let me know if your brother is joining?" Spirit cooking with essential aphrodisiac recipes is a performance art piece released in 1996, with Marina writing a series of cryptic, poetic instructions and recipes on walls in pig's blood. People have interpreted the performance art as occult or satanic rituals. They arrived at those conclusions from countless performance art gatherings with high-profile figures that showcase them eating and drinking off of or around stagnant human bodies. Perhaps one of the weirdest ones is Lady Gaga drinking the liquid surrounding this woman's body that seemingly symbolizes someone dying and bleeding out. Marina has also been tied to several Hollywood stars, including Jay-Z and Beyonce. She even directed and was featured in Jay-Z's 2013 performance art film called Picasso Baby. Nobody knows exactly what happened at these private spirit cooking dinners or if Hillary Clinton even attended, but many believe that the elites are acting openly to taunt the public. Opposers look at the believers of these conspiracy theories as really nothing more than victims of right-wing propaganda. There is no doubt that Trump's relentless attack on the mainstream media for pushing fake news has led to many people automatically questioning what they see online and in the news. Now, asking questions and wanting to fact-check things is completely normal, but it can start to spiral out of control. Opposers believe that these conspiracies rely on extreme, unfounded claims that defy logic, evidence, and basic scientific understanding. The deep social and psychological entrenchment of believers, coupled with their rejection of credible evidence, can make individuals seem disconnected from rational thought, which is perfectly represented by this Q QAnon follower subjecting his children to his ideologies.
Now, you have to understand that he speaks in cryptic code. There's actually a Q clock that you have to decipher all this stuff from.
So this is an actual Q drop.
Yep. Anderson Cooper. And you can see all the satanic artwork in the background, which is just troubling. I mean, you have a man here getting burned alive while there's some sort of satanic ritual going around in the background.
I see that sacrifice is misspelled. Do you think that's also cryptic?
Yeah, absolutely. These guys are smart. Anything that's misspelled, anything that looks out of the ordinary, there's something to it. The purpose of the movement is to question everything.
The people who are pulling the strings is the Italian Vatican. They actually are reptilian bloodlines from another planet. They're basically robots. And the evil people that are there, such as the Rothschilds, who suck blood out of children to get adrenochrome and stay young and beautiful forever.
But then something happened that gave enough justification to conspiracy theorists to essentially believe every rumor they ever heard, which was the investigation, arrest, and death of Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein was a high-profile financier that operated a vast network of sexual abuse and human trafficking involving underage girls. Countless powerful figures and high-profile celebrities were connected to and friends with Epstein. Suddenly, the idea that there is a pedophilic global sex trafficking organization that Hollywood stars may be involved in wasn't a conspiracy. It was true. However, since Jeffrey Epstein happened to die before he went on trial, the case remains unsolved. And still, 6 years later, no names, no flight logs to his private island, or really any information has been revealed that incriminates any co-conspirators. As far as we know, Epstein and his wife, Ghislaine Maxwell, were the only two operators and offenders. Mel Gibson saw this as the perfect time to revive his career, to come back and express the sentiments he alluded to 25 years prior.
One of the most disturbing problems in our world today is human trafficking. And particularly the trafficking of children. Our future is our children. Now, the first step in eradicating this crime is awareness. Go see Sound of Freedom.
In 2023, Mel re-arrived in the pop culture zeitgeist as he was the executive producer of the film Sound of Freedom. This is a low-budget action thriller about a US federal agent who goes rogue on a mission to rescue children in Latin America from trafficking. After raking in over $180 million at the domestic box office, it drew an immense amount of criticism. Much of the controversy surrounding this film stems from Jim Caviezel and Tim Ballard, who have openly supported QAnon. They perpetuated narratives that the elites are nothing more than adrenochrome harvesting, child sacrificing heathens, which made opposers feel that the film wasn't even worth watching if you had incredibly biased and radical men writing and producing it. But much like Gibson's Passion of the Christ, many supporters felt that even if the film doesn't provide a realistic perception of what it takes to discover and rescue child trafficking victims, just discussing the global issue is a net positive. That's definitely how most of Joe Rogan's followers felt after Mel's appearance on his show. Although Mel wasn't talking about Hollywood specifically, he did have some interesting suspicions about human civilization as a whole.
We're looking at a world where that there are big realms, spiritual realms. There's good, there's evil, and they are slugging it out for the souls of mankind. And my question is, why are we even important? Little old flawed humanity, why are we important in that process where the big realms are slugging it out over us?
Hollywood has become so political, it's hard to separate the two. Musicians, actors, producers often feel the need to take a political stance these days, and if they don't, they are criticized for staying quiet. It's gotten so bad that it feels like modern films are ruined just to align with a political ideology. Combine that with all these sadistic conspiracy theories, and it has many reconsidering if they want to support this industry at all anymore. Additionally, celebrities are speaking out and recounting their Hollywood horror stories and being met with love and support, whereas before they would be ostracized and called crazy. We have seen this with countless child stars, once deemed as crash-out drug addicts, and now we understand what Dan Schneider and associates may or may not have done to cause that. President Donald Trump even announced Mel Gibson as a special ambassador to the quote, great but very troubled Hollywood, and he will make suggestions directly to the president to bring back Hollywood stronger than ever before. Mel Gibson Gibson recognized something was off about Hollywood. He was vague when he described it, but I think it's safe to say his suspicions were sound. Even if you don't believe 90% of what was presented in this video, you can still at least get behind the idea that Hollywood is filled with narcissistic sociopaths. Granted, Mel Gibson might have also been that. He may not have been the best messenger. There is no doubt he has some extreme ideologies, ones that most rational people could never align with, but he at least remained consistent with his beliefs, even though it cost him the second half of his career.